The right link now.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Statement is hereby made that the adequate notice of this meeting of the Holmdel Township Public Schools Board of Education was given by posting written notice promptly on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and/or hand delivery of said notice to designated newspapers, the Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of the Holmdel Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second at the end for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public and may be referred by the president to a board committee and or the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. Have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Reddy is currently absent. Mrs. Brigamonte.
Here.
Mrs. Collins.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Foster is absent. Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Can you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We don't have any public meetings. We have a public meeting tonight. We don't have a public hearing tonight. The student representatives, are they on Zoom land? Does anyone know? If the student reps are there, can you please raise your hand? I can't see attendees.
Why don't we, if you want to just move them over to Palace?
Yeah.
If they're here. Yeah. I can't see that distance though, so let me see.
I see one of them is on.
Yeah.
I see Haroon is on.
Hi, Haroon. Do you have a report for us?
Yeah. So, hello, everyone. The junior class has started their...
Can you make him a little louder?
Sorry.
1 second, Haroon. We just need to make you a little louder so everyone can hear you.
Okay. Hearing better?
I need to speak up a little bit.
Can you speak up a little bit? Yes.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much.
So hello everyone. The junior class has started their Holmdel Sherpa fundraiser. So we are selling Holmdel Sherpas and they will be available for pickup once you order them. And the junior class is also selling Thanksgiving pies from Dearborn Market and they'll be available for pickup right before Thanksgiving. And Holmdel High School will be hosting its first ever virtual club fair. And we're very excited to see the number, the numerous amount of clubs that students will be able to participate in this year. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Haroon. Is the other student rep available?
He's on.
Okay. Where is he? Okay. Do you need me to click him?
No, he's on.
Oh, Shay, is the senior rep available to talk?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, I can't see him though. I don't see him up top. Yeah, he's the third one on. Yeah.
I mean, he's on, but he's just seems to talk, I think.
Yeah, just start speaking.
Hey, G-Day, are you available to talk? We'll wait for him to come back. You send me a message, G-Day, if you're available to talk. We're going to go to the superintendent report.
Thank you, Madam President. This evening, I want to talk a little bit about where we are in the school year and how things are going. So let me begin with the fact that at this point in time, we've had no cases of COVID-19 originate in the school. And when you consider the number of students we have and the number of staff members we have, we've had very few individuals in our community come down with COVID. We've had a few and we've dealt with that accordingly. In dealing with the COVID-19, we do have a adjustment in how we determine who has to quarantine when they come in contact with someone. And the new rule of thumb is that they will have to quarantine if they've been in direct contact, that's 6 feet or less, with a infected individual for a total of 15 minutes or more over a 24-hour period. So that will mean that will probably be fewer people being quarantined in the future, but that is the latest guidelines from the CDC. And as you may remember from last Friday and Thursday, we had a student identified, and we sent home an unusually high number of students for the situation. But after we went back and analyzed where they were in relationship to the individual who was with COVID-19, we were able to bring back 25 students, and I think it was seven staff members. So we are learning as we go and learning how to deal with this situation. Something that's really important is over the last couple of weeks, I sent out a survey to our staff and a survey to our parents with a couple of models on how we can extend the school day. We hear from many people that while they're very thankful that the hybrid model is in place with the two teams, parents and I believe staff members would like to see us increase that in some manner, as long as we can maintain a healthy and safe environment for staff and students. When we surveyed our teachers and we asked them how would they feel about a full day hybrid model, 79.4% of those who responded said they would be in favor of it. So that was a very strong response. And that response was 267 individuals, and they were pretty much evenly spread over the four schools. We also surveyed our parents, asking them about a different model, and that model would be a five-day full in-person program with a number of clarifiers, the most important one being that masks, as they are now, would be on at all times. We maintain that, but we would reduce social distancing from the current 6 feet to 3 feet, and to compensate for that and continue to provide a safe environment, we would have desk shields on every student and teacher desk. And as you know, we are in the process of securing ultraviolet lighting to sanitize the classrooms and surfaces overnight. We have had a delay in securing those devices. They are from a vendor in China, and we got them off the state contract to avoid extending the process to secure those fixtures. However, they have been delayed. Our current projection is they'll be here next week, and our installation contractor is prepared to come in and put those in as quickly as possible. Our plan is to install those at Village, and the first shipment is enough to, we believe, do the entire school. The reason I say we believe is because when the final specs come in, there are classrooms that may get one unit and there are classrooms who may get two. So until we actually see that and have the installation done, we're not sure, but we're pretty confident that Village will be done before Thanksgiving. We did some testing of these devices. We received 18 units back in October, and the test results I've posted and sent to parents and staff members were very, very strong. They really did a great job at disinfecting the surfaces, and that was very encouraging for us. So when I surveyed the parents with those clarifications, we found out that the parents who currently have children on the hybrid model, which means they're coming in every other day for 4 hours, and we had responses from almost 800 people. Of those who were on the hybrid plan, we had 83.7% say they would support a five-day plan with the clarification that I just mentioned. When we surveyed the parents of virtual students, and we pulled them out because obviously they don't want to be in school now, they don't feel comfortable being in school at this time, and that's certainly understandable. So when we look at those folks and ask them about the five-day plan, 11.4% said they would take advantage of it, 15% were undecided, and 73% would stay with the virtual option. Now, those numbers are important to us because as we work on a model, we want to make sure that we can accommodate all the students who want to come back. Since then, I've also met with the faculty at Village. That was last week. I'm scheduled to meet with the faculty at Indian Hill on Monday, and we are scheduling meetings with the faculty for both SATS and the high school. The reason for that is I want to meet with the teachers face-to-face to explain what we're doing, what the process is, hear their concerns, address their concerns, and to the degree possible, provide them with information on what we're thinking at this time. The one thing I want to emphasize to everybody, whether it be the staff, the parents, administrators, board members, is that right now we're in the conceptual phase of this process. We don't have a well-defined model that we want to put out there and have people vote on as to whether or not they support it, whether or not they think we can do it. Right now it's conceptual, and the conceptuals are primarily a hybrid model that could be full day, a full-time in-person that could be 5 days a week, and then variances. There's one where we'd have each student would come in 4 out of 5 days, and one of the 5 days that student would be virtual. We also have a model where we'd be open 4 days a week, and Wednesdays would be prep time and PD for our teachers. So those are the basic concepts we're looking at. We hope to move as soon as we can, but obviously it's contingent upon the ultraviolet lighting, and it's contingent upon how COVID-19 plays out over the next month or so. If things get remarkably better, or if we see a vaccine coming quickly, that may change our time frame. And the other reality we have to deal with is we probably will have to phase in whatever model we switch to. And the models could be different, really, at each of the four schools. But more realistically, SATS would have one model, which would match the high school's model. And the elementary schools would probably have their own model. But again, we might have to start with just Village, and then moved to Indian Hill, and then SATS and the high school. So that's what we're doing at this point. I want to emphasize that they're still conceptual models. And I do want to emphasize, especially to our teachers, if we have any listening this evening, is that we have heard from day one, September 14th, that the hybrid model is extraordinarily challenging, and we believe that. Trying to move your materials to a digital platform while you're teaching, while you're trying to engage students in person and virtually, we understand is very, very challenging. So we are trying to find a way to make your job easier and more effective. The one thing I would suggest to anyone is if you have an idea of a model that we can use to improve things, please share it with us in writing so that we can thoroughly look at it. We did have one suggestion come from a teacher, and I think it's a strong suggestion if we have to phase something in. And the teacher suggested that we have a split day for all students. On the morning, the students be in class, and in the afternoon, they would be virtual. And because at the high school and SATS, you have a drop-out rotating schedule, during a cycle, every class would go through every period of the day. So it wouldn't be the same classes virtual every day. It would be different classes every day virtual. Now, the benefit of that is that we would not have to do lunches. We'd send the students home after 4 hours, let them have lunch, and then we'd have a full three-block program in the afternoon that was virtual. The one thing that's causing us challenges at the complex, at SATS and the high school, is the serving of lunch. Having students taking their mask off, eating, and being in less than 6 feet of each other. So again, that's a model that came from a teacher. I think it's a model that we really need to look at, and it might be part of the model that we go with. It might be part of a phase-in, but I really encourage anyone who has concerns to come up with a suggestion or a better model that we can analyze so we can get our students back to school full time. Because at the end of the day, I believe it is the best interest of our students, their health, their safety and their welfare, and their social and emotional development to be in school as much as possible. And that would, of course, be full time. Let me just take a look at my notes here. The other thing I think is important to mention is, while we know these are very challenging times for everyone, parents, students, and teachers, I think it would be a mistake for us to accept the status quo. And by that I mean we still have to try and move forward, certainly not at the pace we would have done last year in a traditional full-day model, but there are still opportunities I think we have to take advantage of to begin to move things forward in the area of instruction and in the area of assessment. And I know the board is aware, but I do want to just mention that we are beginning to phase in this program called Linkit, which the board approved of and is aware of. And we're taking it slowly. And we've asked our supervisors to take some of the responsibility for implementing Linkit and developing the assessments. And the key to Linkit and its data generation that will inform instruction is that we want to do three common assessments throughout the school year. And what that means simply is that we'll give a test in the fall, the midwinter, and the spring to see the growth of our students. And that's very important. And it's important even when we have a hybrid model as we have now, because we still expect our students to be learning, and this will give us an indication of how rapidly they're learning and what they're learning. And that will be important to us internally, and it will be important externally to the state of New Jersey, who is requesting that kind of information. It will also help us with our SGOs that each teacher has to develop each year, because it will provide us with a measurable outcome. And I think that's critical to continue to refine the instructional program of the school district. So we heard the teachers were concerned about having to develop these instruments, these assessment instruments. So we asked the supervisors to either take that on completely or share that workload with our teachers. And the one nice thing about Linkit is that they have a test bank of over 30,000 questions that are aligned with the state standards and have been reviewed to determine the reliability and the validity. So we have 30,000+ questions that we can just plug in because we're all are teaching to the state standards to assess where we are. So that is the biggest initiative I think we have going right now. I think it's important for the board to know that in order to make that happen, we did pull back on your other testing program, MAPS. And we're going to use this as a pilot for Linkit, see which one works best, which best meets our needs. And then for the 21-22 school year, many months from now, we'll make a decision on what we want to do for that school year. But again, I think it's important to continue to move forward, because if we're not, we're regressing, and I don't think we want to regress under any circumstances. So again, I know this is very challenging for our staff, our teachers in particular, We have a process in place where they can give us feedback. They can give us suggestions. I'm meeting with them face to face. And as the board knows, I meet with the leadership of the association every week with Denise and Jay. So we have avenues of communication. And once we are confident that we can bring students back full time with the safety enhancements we are planning to have installed in November, at least at Village and then beyond, I think we'll move forward with a longer instructional day. Whether that's a phase-in or an immediate full day has yet to be determined, but we have to keep moving forward. And that concludes my report for this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is there any questions for the superintendent? Comments? No? Okay. All right. We don't have any HIB reports.
No.
Oh. And all right. Committee reports then. Jamie, would you like to go first?
Yes, sure. The Curriculum and Instruction Special Services Committee met on Wednesday, October 14th, 2:30 p.m. The committee first discussed the items recommended by the interim superintendent for approval. Under new business, the committee discussed the following: dual enrollment release program with Brookdale Community College, plans for possible full day, and a survey to get a sense of where parents and teachers stand on these issues. Concerns that weekly mandatory after school hours for teachers and students, which are scheduled after office hours from 1:45 to 2:30 by subject area, are not happening. Change in weighting of tests and quizzes and homeworks for grades due to remote learning. CARES money being utilized to prevent students from falling through the cracks and keeping students on target, especially for achieved students. Discussion of measures being taken by the administration to prevent cheating and plagiarism. Discussion regarding AP classes and how well students perform. It would be beneficial to students to take AP tests after completing an AP class because Holmdel students tend to perform well on AP tests, and parents and students do not realize that students may choose what scores to report. The committee requested updated data regarding the number of students who declined to enroll in AP classes or AP tests. We also discussed the necessity to make changes to the grade 3 literacy benchmark program because the data regarding the program has not been favorable. Dr. Charney recommends improving K-3 literacy should be a district goal, and new programs are currently being reviewed. We discussed the Arts High virtual program with Brookdale and the need to publicize it. And the administration is currently investigating the investment in an updated teacher evaluation platform so that it's easier to utilize for teachers and administrators. We discussed the career concentration program, the new Seal of Biliteracy program, and course placement criteria for grades 6 to 8 and 9 to 12. The committee was provided with an analysis of the success of our students who wade into honors classes, and the success is undeniable. Only two students of 230, which is less than 1%, who were waved into honors and AP classes were not able to meet the course requirements. Dr. Charney also, we discussed the school profile document and the additional information that was being incorporated into the next document to highlight some additional information. And this information has been posted on the school website after review by the board committee and central administrators. Finally, Dr. Charney gave his first Linkit data presentation on park data, which was very informative and useful. Data analysis via the Linkit platform will be utilized to determine students' strengths and weaknesses in order to best plan for growth. In addition, one of the goals of Linkit is that teachers will work in teams to create common assessments so there is consistency through grade and class. And the next meeting date is to be determined.
Thank you. Any questions for Jamie?
I did want to make a quick comment if I could, Vicki.
Hey, go ahead, Mike.
One of the things that I really respect in people is perseverance and a capacity to work. And as long as Jamie Collins has been on the school board, she has been an advocate for the use of data for the purposes of advancing the school district. This report she gave us, the report earlier presented by the superintendent, this is an affirmation of her efforts. She should be complimented for them. And I myself want to at least extend that to her.
Mike, all I can say is we did it. We did it.
I don't want to be saying too much on the we. You drove a lot of this. And I know that when I read your report earlier this week, I just, you know, I felt well done. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, thank you. And I just think it's going to be wonderful for the students.
I just wanted to add something along the same lines, which I totally appreciate the use of the data, and particularly the point where you, where we found out that less than 1% of students who are waivered in are not able to meet course requirements. And I think it's very important to share that with the parents and the students of the entire district. So I really appreciate that we actually have hard numbers about that. And I also wanted to comment about the new school profile and how much more information is on there and how much more beneficial it will be for students applying to college, that the schools and the people reading their college applications will have a much better, richer understanding of what Homebell is about and what we have to offer. And it's really going to benefit our students applying. And I'm glad we got it done now, because people's applications are being read now. So that is great. And really, thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Charney. And
yes, very much thanks, Dr. Charney, because he's really provided us with a lot of very important information that we wouldn't know at all without him.
Yes. Anything else? Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. Eileen, you're up.
Buildings, ground, and safety met October 22nd at 5 p.m. The first item we talked about, of course, was the referendum, and these reports are getting smaller by every meeting. As far as the interior renovations and exterior renovations at Village and Indian Hill, the contractors provided closeout documents and an application for payment, which are being reviewed by Gray Hawk and the architects, and that's all we have for Village and Indian Hill. The exterior site additions and renovations and the interior alterations at Satsuma High School. The delivery of the furniture for the media center has been completed. A certificate of occupancy has been issued by the buildings department for the media center. And that's pretty much all I have for the referendum. The next thing we talked about was the readiness planning for school reopening. Now that the heating season has started, it has allowed for the retro commissioning of the HVAC equipment to commence, and will be we'll concentrate on the heating hot water flows and controls for Indian Hill, Village, and now including the complex. Retro commissioning hopefully will be realized within the next 4 weeks. The third item we discussed was transportation. Basically, the district continues to receive requests for families who would like to start riding the bus. So that's nice to see that we're getting more kids riding. The fourth topic we discussed was the sporting events and the planning for that. The athletic department will adhere to all the Executive Order 187 and the NJSIAA season adjustments to accommodate for indoor athletics. Season 2 will commence on December 3rd, and it will end on February 14th. Right now, the essential personnel only will be allowed in the gyms, and that consists of the players, coaches, officials, practice and game day workers, and district administration. And we don't have any items on the agenda for this evening, and our next meeting is scheduled for November 12th at 5 p.m.
Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Hey, Vicki, I had a question.
Go ahead.
More from Mike. When did you say the date was that we, for any, since the referendum was to the better, what's the drop dead date of when we have to basically, do we have to get things back to the state for additional work and things like that? What's the timing of that? Is that further into 2021?
Yeah, there really is no timeline, technically speaking. We have the story completed. But that is the process we're going through right now. we'll discuss more at committee meetings as far as, once we do finalize, we are at the September 30th board meeting. Awarded the CCTV PA project, which is our security enhancement piece of the referendum. So as we progress through that project, we will certainly provide updates through committee and then assess essentially where everything's came in at when it's all said and done. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, I know Brian's not here. We could do the budget and finance meeting unless someone is prepped to do budget and finance tonight. Nope. Okay. So we'll hold that until next meeting. And I don't think there's any other committee reports for tonight. So we will move on to questions or comments from the public on action items only.
Wait, I'm here. I can give my report.
Who's here? Go ahead.
Sorry, I had issues with my internet. So homecoming was a success. The football team beat RBR and the king and queen were crowned at the homecoming game. Our king is Keith Bellamy and our queen is Rena Gallo. Congratulations to the football team and both our winners. Girls soccer is having a great season. As it currently stands, they are undefeated. And the senior class is currently busy starting or finishing the application process. And thank you and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Any questions for the student representatives, board members?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead, Pete.
The boys soccer team has continued their 3-year winning streak.
Yes, they have.
They beat Hazlitt tonight 3-2, so their 64-game winning streak is still intact. So pretty cool.
I know, weren't they down by like 1-0 at some point?
The other night, yeah, they were.
Well, today, I think, too.
No, they won 5-0.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. They won 3-2.
Okay. I follow them on Twitter.
Junior Varsity won 5-0. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Matt Klein scored the goal to get ahead, I think.
Yes. Awesome.
So, and Connor's having a good year. They're all having a great year. So much fun to watch them. So much fun to see them on our new fields. The kids look happy and everything. And I think Irene has a tennis report from our tremendous tennis team. Go ahead, Irene.
So I've had the pleasure of watching a few of the more recent home matches, which honestly, the courts are phenomenal. It's a great place to see tennis. It's lovely as, you know, dark sets in, the lights go on. The facility is outstanding, and the girls are really excelling on those courts. And today, I believe, is their last match, and they won their regional championship or conference, they call it. So it was really exciting to see them, and it really has been a great season. I'm kind of disappointed a little bit that it's over.
Go to Robbinsville then, right?
There's no states this year. So this is kind of where they end, unfortunately, and they had such a great season. So it's really been a pleasure to watch them out there.
No match against Melbourne?
They played Summit yesterday in Manasquan. No, Melbourne. No.
They beat Summit the other day,
they
right?
Beat Summit yesterday, and today they beat Manasquan. So it was a pretty big victory for them. So it's good stuff.
I saw that facility investment's working out for us, Mike. All right. Well, I'm so proud of all of them. Again, the kids look happy. I know as a parent of a student athlete, like many of us, have been, you know, you didn't know if it's ever going to get called during the COVID. I'm so happy of everything that we did. A shout out to all our coaches, a shout out to our athletes for being responsible during this season, and a shout out to Matt Kakuta, our new athletic director. I mean, my God, to start in under these circumstances, he's done a tremendous job. Dr. Seitz, I've heard nothing but good things about him from a lot of parents. They're so impressed. So please relay that to him. We're happy to have them, and we're happy that everyone's healthy and safe. Demonstrating all the work that our district did was well worth it. So thank you. All right, questions or comments from the public on action items only. Are there any questions or comments, Steve? Because I really... No? The you need to raise your hand. Okay, so then we will move to the part of the meeting where I take a motion. I will have a motion for items number 1 through 14 and 17 through 45. Move.
Second.
Discussion.
I had one quick question for you, Lee, and it has to do with item number 8, which is our approval of the dual enrollment program.
Mike, can you speak up a little bit, please?
Can you hear me okay? You having troubles hearing me?
Yeah, now you're better.
That's okay, sorry. Better. Sorry about that. Yeah, Lee, I just wanted to know what we were going to do to greater publicize this dual enrollment program with Brookdale Community College, which I think is a terrific opportunity for our students, and I don't know if it's really received the level of attention or publicity in the past, and I was just curious about your thoughts on that. That's item number 8.
Well, Michael, I agree with you 100%. It's a wonderful program, and what I'll do is I'll look into it and find out what they're doing, and I'm certain we can do something to improve it, whether it be alerts to the students and or to parents. Maybe do some type of presentation like we do for other programs, including other colleges, because you're absolutely right. It's a wonderful program. It's unbelievably convenient, and I would encourage students to take advantage of it. But we'll look into it, absolutely.
Yeah, we talked about that in CNI too, because we think it should be something our students should definitely take advantage of on a more broader scale. Any other questions, discussion? CNN, have a roll call, please.
Ms. Lynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sarko?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Brillamonte?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Item number 15, Mike Sacco, can you read that, please?
If I can scroll to it quickly enough, yes. Number 15. Whereas Ms. Annette Brennan has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 10th, 1993, and that Ms. Annette Brennan has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and that Ms. Annette Brennan has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and that Ms. Annette Brennan has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective January 1st, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Ms. Brennan's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Brennan's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Brennan its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you, Mike. Have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion. CNN, have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn?
Yes, best wishes, Ms. Brennan.
Mr. Sopple?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Brillamonte?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes, best of luck.
Mr. Wall?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes, congratulations.
Thank you. Mr. Sopple, I'll let you read item number 16, please.
Okay, let's see here. Acceptance of retirement. Oh, great. This is going to be a great name. Hopefully I don't mispronounce this. Okay. Whereas Ms. Roseanne Goliomela, did I pronounce that anywhere close to correct? Goliomela has served the Homedale Township Public
Schools.
Is it close? Okay. With the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since July 29th, 2002. And that Ms. Roseanne Goliomela has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and that Ms. Roseanne Goliomela has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and that Ms. Roseanne Goliomela has submitted a letter announcing a retirement from the Homedale School District effective January 1st, 2021. Therefore, it be resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts her retirement with deep gratitude for her dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to her its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you, Mike. Have a motion.
Move.
Second. Discussion? CNN, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Lynn.
Yes, best wishes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Ruddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Bremonti.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Any board members have any old business to discuss? Seeing none, does anyone have any new business to discuss?
I have a comment or a question, a couple of things. One, it might be a CNI type thing. Knowing that we have a lot of new courses this year, and I think a lot of the new courses have been really cool courses, and you know, I know my son's taking robotics. It's a great course. You know, teacher's super energetic. I was just hoping that this year, maybe when the year's over, we get feedback back from the teacher, students, you know, on hey, what was good, what was bad. You know, knowing that it's a new course, we don't have any history, and you know, like this robotics course, I think is awesome. So, you know, so it's like, you know, for me, that'd be like, I'm sure the feedback's going to be awesome, but you know, hey, maybe we can make more of it, but I just hope we get feedback on all these new courses that we implemented the last couple of years in high school and SATs. And then my other one is, I know we finalized and ratified the contract last month or a couple weeks ago. Have we gotten any feedback from the district, you know, from the teachers and the union? The reason I ask is, you know, you look around the country and there's millions of people without jobs, millions of people without getting raises and everything else. I'm just wondering, was there any thank you or anything like any appreciation? Just curious. You know, obviously I don't, you know, all the rest of the board members, we don't get all the feedback that you might get. I'm just curious if that actually, you know, was expressed.
I mean, I know Denise said to me, I don't know if it was after our meeting or before she was thankful, but she's mostly spoken to Paul, but Denise said she was thankful for the board
for
getting a deal done because she thought it was really important for our teachers.
Certainly the association leadership has expressed their gratitude.
You know, obviously what's going on around the country, it's, you know, most people aren't getting raises. If anything, most people are losing jobs. Getting, you know, it's a bad time. So here, I'm just curious. Okay, thank you.
Elizabeth?
I was wondering if we ever are going, did we ever get our senior survey?
No.
Are we going to get that or?
I don't know. We should check.
I don't think we did it.
I don't remember us doing it. I don't have.
No, but we had it. They did a senior survey because my daughter filled it out, so I know. But we never heard the results of it.
We never heard the results. Okay. Thanks. Good reminder. They were very.
Robert was very against that.
I mean, last year we discussed them, and it was really powerful stuff to hear from our seniors.
I think it'd be very helpful even to know now so we can think about this year's seniors and what they're going to be going through if we're still kind of in this situation in the spring. So
yeah, it was very helpful.
If I might add just an additional point on this, if we're going to make this an annual practice, I think it's really important for us to take a look at the two surveys, ensure that we're using similar questions, because if we don't have the same questions from year to year, we can't do any trending analysis. We can't examine any potential progress that we might be trying to achieve with the survey. If we find that the two surveys are wildly different, and I off the top of my head can't answer that question, I would then say that maybe we should work closely with the administration to put together what we will consider the standard senior survey, put into practice, and have the same survey year after year so that we can, in fact, collect data that would be useful for us and to be able to track some trending.
And that was one of the reasons why Terrence has brought up multiple times that we use some type of survey, a company that does surveys, so that we can do that. Hey, Terrence?
Yes, that's correct. One of the companies, one of the vendors is Qualtrics.
Yep.
The cost is frankly, in the framework of our budget, a minuscule $3,000 to $4,000 a year as a subscription. They can tailor make a survey so it's consistent with what the folks from, whether it's HTEA, the parents, the administrative community, the educators, the students themselves, and can be tailor-made to be a real interesting product that can help move the ball forward in myriad ways and professionally with analytical capabilities so we can gauge it and track it.
And if you remember a couple of years ago when we got that raw data, one of the things I remember specifically was like, all right, our freshmen are taking financial literacy as freshman year. Obviously, we have to take it sometime during the 4 years. And a lot of the feedback from the seniors were, okay, freshman year, it's a waste for me because I don't have a job, I don't have a car, I don't have a credit card. So why can't we look at moving it to junior year? Or, hey, I'd like to do something that would help me job interviews or resumes or things that are tangible to me. I remember even one was the SAT, ACT course, and now we have one. So we took some of the feedback and actually actioned on it, which is, I think, super valuable because who are the customers in our school? It's all these kids. I mean, we're not, no one's here if it's not the kids. Might as well get feedback from the actual customer. So
yeah, and it helped us to craft one of our district goals, too.
I have another thought. We've mentioned a lot about Linkit, and I was wondering maybe if possibly Dr. Charney could do a presentation to the board so the parents and the public would understand it a little bit better. I think that would make people more at ease if they knew what was going on rather than, you know, we're just jumping to a different testing. What do you think about that?
Oh, we can do that.
I was nodding my head. We can certainly do that.
Great.
Anything else? Okay. At this point in the meeting, we will take questions or comments from the public. Do we have any questions or comments from the public?
We have none.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Dowd, do you have a question or comment? Go
I
ahead.
Do. Shanti Dowd, 12, good evening. 12 Primrose Court, Shanti Dowd, 12 Primrose Court. I wanted to address a topic that I had brought up at the last meeting when an item got tabled specifically regarding the AP criteria. But I did want to preface my comments now just with a response to a question that was raised a little while ago. As I'm speaking as a community member and somebody interested in the educational aspects of the AP, but I'd also like to take a moment. Somebody asked a question about thanking people. I would like to thank our union leadership and our union members for doing such a good job and being patient while the contract was being solved. So I'd just like to sort of thank those folks that might be listening and all the people that I'm lucky enough to work with every day. That's who I'm thankful for. But I did wanted to speak tonight about the proposed changes to the AP conversation that was had back in the spring. And then at last board meeting, I believe on October 9th, I wanted to speak about it. And it turns out on the revised thing, it was tabled. And it was told that it was because it was for the 21-22 school year. So I just wanted to talk for just a couple of minutes. And then I have a couple of questions for the board. And I want to give some information for the public that might be listening because they might not understand what I'm talking about unless I lay some things out. There's proposed changes to the advanced placement AP criteria at the high school. Currently, students wishing to take AP classes can do that based on their grades in the subject area they choose to waive into the course. Students can take these courses to enhance their college resumes as well as to gain practice in the rigors of a college level course. And again, not everybody knows that. Students in these courses may opt to take the AP exam at the end of course, but it's not mandatory. Many can take multiple courses and choose to only take exams that might benefit them in the long run when they can apply these courses as prerequisites and be exempt from classes at college, thereby saving both time and tuition down the road. Based on conversations that have been had at previous board meetings, I was made to understand that according to a survey of teachers and students at the high school, I wasn't privy to this survey, I was just mentioned at one point, that the main reason for students opting out of taking the exam is the cost of the exam. AP tests are roughly $93 each. based on this data, which to my knowledge was never necessarily made available to the public, the board decided, or I guess committee decided, they would find a way to encourage all AP students to take the final exam each year by offering to pay for the exam. And of course, that's very generous, but my question is at what cost to the students and the community? And I just want to briefly break down my concerns. The benefit of the board paying for the AP exam for the student is that they can save the $93 per exam and eventually save money down the line if they do well on the exam and can use the course to replace a required college course. And that sounds good, but what about the student taking multiple AP exams who does not want the stress of these exams and who wants to concentrate on the ones that might be most beneficial to them educationally? The AP exam, as I said, is not mandatory. It's up to the student. In fact, you don't even have to take an AP course to take the exam. So I'm wondering why Holmdel is seeking to require students to take the exam. Now, some districts require it to ensure the standards of the AP courses, as scores would obviously reflect how rigorous and effective the program is. But with more students taking more exams and being strongly encouraged to do so, it also adds additional stress to the student who takes the course to actually learn and benefit from it. The other reason schools require the exams is so they can pad the number of students taking the exams in the district and thereby hope to improve the all-important school ranking, which is where this particular argument kind of tips over itself. It seems like it's more about marketing and real estate than the actual education of the students. Now, full disclosure, I teach in the district, but I also am a community member. I'd love to see my home value go up and see Holmdel be viewed as an outstanding district. Okay, but at what cost? Not at the cost of stress to the students, sort of being encouraged to take EP classes, not necessarily for the learning, but for the school rankings. All right. And to me, I'm a teacher and my student is currently going to the high school. My concern is their learning and their knowledge. I'm not necessarily comfortable with the benefit to the community because that means it's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. Of course, our school rankings go up and maybe my home value does, but I don't want that at the cost of an educational experience. And at $93 a pop with the number of student exams taking each year, just given some raw numbers I looked at from last year, it could be upwards or above $60,000 a year. And when discussing this idea at the meeting, I believe it was in the spring, to pay for these exams as an idea that was going to be floated about, I believe the business administrator intimated that we should be able to find the money in this budget. And the way it was said was, yeah, we should be able to find that. And that made me curious because I know we're always looking to trim the budget. And every year it's kind of a pain in the neck to get the budget done and be fiscally responsible, which is a word we hear a lot around election time when people are running for board, that we did a good job coming in under budget. I'm in my 16th year as a foundation, Holmdel Educational Foundation member and trustee. And we raise money every year by the help of the community, and we promote things, and we raise a lot of money. So it made me worry when somebody at the dais said, oh, yeah, we can easily find that $60,000 a year to pay for that. The kicker here is that with all the proposed changes to the AP criteria for the 2021-2022 school year, students would be required to take the exam if they sign up for the course. And if they choose not to, which is their right from the way I understand it, they will get an incomplete for the exam and for the course. Now, at the last agenda item that I saw, it was actually going to be a weighted grade, okay, that they would lose the weighted grade if they didn't take the exam, okay, and then that was obviously changed to, at some point, the fact that they will get an incomplete for the course. Now, let that sink in. Your student can opt to take a rigorous college-level course so they can actually learn, so they can earn a good grade each semester, yet lose credit for the course because they choose not to sit for the exam. And I've said this before in many different forums, I've said it very openly, our business is education, not school ranking. I know school rankings are important in some scope, but not when it comes to the education of the actual student. I think it's an outrageous proposal as an educator. I think many parents and students might think so as well. And again, I say proposed changes because to my knowledge, and this is where my questions come in, it was mentioned at a spring board meeting. I wrote to the board. I did hear back from a couple of board members back in the spring. It was on the agenda. Then it was pulled. I still made some comments at the last meeting. But it has not been discussed, and to my knowledge, in a public forum and has not been voted on by the board. So what I'm curious about is how this unvoted upon, undiscussed proposal is already posted on the high school website. Now, for those out there that are listening to this, where is it posted? To me, it's an obscure section of the high school main page under related sites under the link 2020-2021 course placement criteria for rising ninth to 12th graders. I mean, if you blink, you miss it. So I'm leaving this conversation off with a number of questions for those at the dais, and I'd love to hear some response if possible. How, if these revisions were never publicly discussed or voted upon, did they already make it to the website as if they've already been instituted? We have a current and systemic issue, in my opinion, with transparency and lack of clear and consistent communication in the district. And this is a prime example of an issue I would love to get some clarity on, that it was a board agenda item. It was pulled. In the meantime, it's suddenly now on the website, but it still hasn't been an agenda item. It still hasn't been voted on. Number two, when did the change go from being a student losing the weighted credit for the course to the student getting an incomplete for the course from the last board discussion up till now? I try to attend all board meetings. I try to listen in. Mrs. Collins tonight mentioned AP as part of her committee report. That specific information was not mentioned to my knowledge. Number three, how are we justifying the expense for our students and our learners who will feel pressured to take an exam that they might not opt to take otherwise at the cost of threatening them that they might not pass the course and they'll get an incomplete if they don't? And I'd like some educational justification for that as well. And lastly, there's been thought put to the fact that for many students not prepared for the rigor of these courses may be tempted to sign up because it becomes stressful for themselves, their parents, and their teachers as they struggle to stay afloat all year. And I'm not sure what is actually being learned or successful in these courses. And it was just noted this evening that the data, we're very big on data, okay, shows that those who wave into honors are successful. And that's good to hear, okay? But I've taught honors, I've taught that level before. I know people who teach that, but the data, and this data word is thrown around a lot, does not reflect teacher feedback, where they often put up quite a bit of extra time and energy working with students who are often on the cusp of a C grade and maybe in danger of falling out of honors. And this happens all year to stay in the honors track. And that's a lot of pressure from the student, from the parent, a lot of communication that creates a level of stress for the teachers in many of these classes. And the obsession with data does not, and I repeat, does not show the human side of the classroom experience. We cannot promote SEL on one hand and then only focus on data on the others. And I just think that needs to be said. So my final question is the school ranking or whatever the motivation is that important? All right. Have you rigorously surveyed the AP and honors teachers on the educational soundness of this approach? And I'd just be curious to hear the rationale. Thank you.
I'd like to comment.
No, Mike. Mike, no.
Before I
Mike. I'm Mike.
Superintendent first to answer some of these
questions. Thanks, Mike. I was just going to say I'm going to go to Dr. Seitz for a response.
I knew you
Thank would. You. Thanks, Mike. Dr. Seitz, do you have a response?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to establish that we do require final exams for our courses. And if a student fails to complete the course requirements, then he or she does not receive credit for the course. That's the first thing. The second thing is AP is a course at the high school. By policy, requires a final exam. And I believe it's the prerogative of the district to determine what that final exam looks like. I also believe that when we do any type of assessment, we want to make sure that the assessment instrument is closely aligned to the course content and the course objectives and the standards. When it comes to AP classes, the AP exam is almost a perfect match to assess the effectiveness of the instruction and the achievement of the students. So simply requiring a final exam is all we're doing. We have a right as a district to identify what that exam looks like. And I'll be honest with you, I don't see any reason from an educational standpoint not to support the use of the AP exam as a final exam. It's perfect alignment. It's a nationwide exam. It will give us valuable data on how our students are doing. We'll also point out gaps that we may have in the instruction of our students and how we can fill those gaps. And I also think it's really worth pointing out that I was surprised by the success of the students who wave into the course, wave into AP courses. And as was mentioned, that is a reflection on the outstanding job that our teachers do. So now it becomes a balance of do we wave students in who prove to be successful with the recognition that it will cause or may result in some additional work by our teachers, or do we deny the teachers that AP experience, excuse me, the students that AP experience because of the additional work that it may require from our teachers? I don't have the answer to that question, Might have to do some more research and look into a few other things. But by a general rule of thumb, I would support anything that gives our students a better, broader educational experience. So the fact that the Waveland students are doing so well, I think really supports that we need to look at how that is going and why it is going that way. And I would certainly encourage it. And if our teachers have some concerns, I think they should share it with us. I haven't heard any so far, but I'd be more than happy to hear those concerns, especially in writing, so we can respond to them. But to me, the AP experience includes a final exam. The AP experience and the final exam will give us solid information on how our students are performing. And third, it will give the teachers solid data to inform instruction in future years. So I think it's a win all the way around. Thank you.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add, thank you, Dr. Seitz, for succinctly putting that together. I did also want to add that we did discuss this item publicly. So I think a few of our board members were taken aback by the suggestion we weren't transparent on this issue. It's been an open discussion for some time. And I know in January and February, for sure, when we had the committee, the whole meetings, it was discussed, if not before that. I know it was discussed. So I'm sorry if anyone missed that. That could have been before the Zoom meetings, before the COVID situation created that matter. But I just wanted to note that for the record, because I know a few of our board members were probably taken aback by that suggestion. Hi, Katie Taylor. Can you give your name and address for the record? Is she on? Katie, can you hear us? Can you unmute yourself? She's unmuted. We can't hear her though. Okay, anyone else? Katie, come back to us if you can. Yeah. There she is. I feel like I'm on a radio station.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Your connection's not great.
Can you state my name, et cetera?
Yeah, can you state your name and address?
Okay. Yes, my name is Katie Taylor. I live at 24 Spring Valley Drive. I'm a Homedale resident of 21 years, and our daughter is a senior at Homedale High School and has attended Homedale schools since kindergarten. First, I would like to personally thank every single Homedale teacher for their dedication, professionalism, and immense amount of time and care they have devoted to my daughter and the entire Homedale community. When I see her teachers, even as far back as her kindergarten teacher, they ask for her by name. They ask how she's doing and about her future plans. Not only has she been challenged and inspired academically, she's been cared for by her teachers in Homedale. Thank you to the teachers for your willingness and ability to teach during the most daunting and uncertain times. You have gone above and beyond the expectations, even without a clear understanding on how all of this would work in the spring and in this new year. Your hours of planning, updating, grading, learning new technology, all while teaching our kids every single day, on top of your own health concerns and family obligations, have not gone unnoticed, and I am personally so very thankful for all of you, and I hope others will join me in expressing that appreciation. I would also like to address the community and the Board of Education about these rankings and about the AP exams. One thing that people may not know is that oftentimes these rankings are not based upon how well these students achieve, but if they just take them. Because of that, right now, the difference between a final exam and an AP exam is that the final exam is at most an hour and a half long. Juniors and seniors are allowed to waive those exams if they have an A in the course. An AP exam is often 3.5 hours long, and we are saying that students not only cannot waive the exam if they receive an A, but they would lose credit for not taking it. most students right now could not take a final exam and still pass the course. So that to me is not equal in any way. If our goal is to have as many students as possible enrolled in AP courses, I think we also need to consider, are the students truly interested in the material? Do they have the necessary skills to succeed in the course? I don't think we should be forcing students to take every exam and to not receive or and then not receive credit if they do not. The consideration needs to be given for the integrity of the course and the students to have the ability to pass and excel in the course and the exams. Even though the data may say, yes, students can get through even if they're struggling and barely hanging on, but that does not account for the stress this places on students, teachers, parents, families, etc., when students really have to take these AP courses if they want to have, if they want to do well and go above and beyond to get into the best schools that they want to get into. So my questions now include, why is the Board of Education making decisions not allowing the community to debate and engage in important discussions? I don't remember ever hearing that kids would not get credit for these classes. Why are we seeing changes appear at times in the academic calendar with no warning or notification to community, students, and staff? Also, I'd like to ask about Linkit, which was mentioned early. And we're doing this and implementing this during a global pandemic while students are in a hybrid model. How are we expecting teachers to collect data in a year where the integrity of assessments is clearly in question? We're adding a whole new testing and data collection to teacher responsibilities on top of changing their schedules, expecting them to teach virtually, and then tend to the social and emotional well-being of students. I question if multiple choice or even fill-in is the kind of assessments we really want to collect data on. Are we able to just check to see if students are able to problem solve, express themselves, use another language through Linkit? This seems to be an incredibly poor time to push this on the teachers and students without preparation during such a difficult and uncertain time. And if we wonder why there seems to be so much misunderstanding and misinterpretation, I believe the answer is a lack of transparency and a lack of communication. I've lived in this town for 21 years. I have experienced much better, and I expect much better from our leaders. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Katie. My first question, I just asked the superintendent, because I don't understand where there's this impression out there that there's been some major change with the AP test requirements and course requirements, because there hasn't been. The only thing I know that we are doing differently than we've done last year is pay for the test. So that's the only change I'm aware of for this year. Am I correct, Dr. Seitz?
Yes, there's been change to the criteria. The one thing we have done is we've highlighted in our documents the waiver process, because in previous years it was well hidden. So we have addressed that. But other than that, you know, and I've read the material a number of times as we were preparing it for publication. And as far as I know, there's no change in the criteria other than emphasizing the opportunity for students to waive in.
Unfortunately, Ms. Taylor, I don't know where this information is coming from, but, you know, we'll take another look at it. But the only change I know as a Board of Education that we were involved in this year was to authorize a budget in which we included money in a line item to pay for our students who, by the way, the information that was shared with us in the last few CNI committee meetings demonstrate the enormous success our students have when they do sit and take that test. So whatever we can do to support them in that, which this year we will do financially. Thank you, Mr. Petruzzo, the guy at the dais who found the money. That's what we'll do. And if there's anything else we could do to support our teachers and support our students, we'll do it.
I just had a question for Dr. Seitz. So
is Mike Sockel a member? Is he going to give his address too now?
If people want to find my house, I'm happy to give it to him. The question I had was, so my understanding, and so help me here. My understanding is you take an AP class. If you take the final exam with the AP class, just the regular AP class, you're not going to get the extra credit. You're going to get the extra credit of it being an AP class if you take the AP test. or am I missing something? That
Mike, there's no policy change. You are totally missing everything. The only change that was made from last year to this year is that we are paying for the AP test. That's it. That's the only change. We haven't done anything else.
No, I know we haven't done anything.
Okay, but you're asking, so I just want to make sure you're clear. It has nothing to do with weighting the grades.
I'm responding to what Dr. Seitz said a few minutes ago in answering Mr. Dowd's question. I'm just trying to get clarity. What you're saying, Dr. Seitz, is if I take an AP class, at the end of the taking of the AP class, I'm not taking a final exam from the teacher, I'm taking the AP test. Is that what you were saying?
That's correct.
Okay. See, but that's a change, isn't it?
Well, it's a change in the test, the assessment instrument itself. We've always required a final exam. And now as a district, it's really not, you know, up to the teacher. It's the district policy that we have a final exam in our courses at the high school level. And we are, as a district, saying that for these courses, we are requiring, as part of the course, the final exam to be the AP exam. And I think what's important here is that that's a very important educational experience for the students. And secondly, those scores are not reported unless the student proactively takes action to have those scores reported out to colleges. So I understand, you know, a little bit of the concern, but I don't understand this issue of why the source of the final exam is an issue. In my opinion, without knowing the teachers involved in developing the final exams that they developed personally, from my perspective, it would be much better to have an exam that is aligned with the AP program, the AP course, and the standards contained within that AP program. It helps everybody. It helps the student with the experience. It helps the students if he or she gets a 4 or 5 on the exam. It helps the district in that we can identify gaps either in the curriculum. If we have gaps in achievement in a particular area, we can identify that. And we're doing it with a test question that is valid and reliable. It tests what it's supposed to test, and it does it across the students. So again, I'm not sure what the concern is, other than we will have greater accountability in our AP program, which is, I think, what everybody would like to see. And again, this is just a way to fine-tune the AP programs to provide a structure, an instructional program for our students that will allow them to be more successful.
I have no concern here. I was just looking for clarification.
Yeah,
because Mike's bringing that up, because I guess that's what Mr. Dowd and Ms. Taylor's concern is, that so they're not going to have a teacher-made assessment as their final exam. They're going to have to take the exam, which I think that's why we were in our budget last year. We paid for it.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions, Steve? Ms. Shea, are you available? Lori Shea?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Lori Shea, 24 Longview Drive. My question is for you, Dr. Seitz. You said that the 5-day full day for Village School was conceptual, but in the letter that was sent home with the survey, it said that it will be implemented in late November 2020. Is that not happening now, or does it have to go before the board and be approved?
At this point, we're still developing the model. The purpose of the survey to both parents and teachers was to get input on whether we could do it, what concerns we had. It also is contingent upon the installation of the UVC lighting. So if we can work out the issues that have been raised, if we can ensure that we're going to have a safe environment, especially around the lunch periods, then we'll make a proposal to the board to move to a new model. but we're not quite there yet. And I think that's really a key factor here. Would we like to have it implemented as soon as possible? Absolutely. Is it reasonable to have that done in the next week or two? No. So we're going through a process. And yes, I probably in hindsight should have worded that letter a little differently. But we did get a good response. We did get input, and we're getting input from teachers on what they see as their needs in order to make this program effective. If we had gotten a different response, we'd be changing the model. But right now, especially at Village and probably Indian Hill, that's the model of choice. But we still have a lot of work to do to get to the point where we can propose it to the community, and especially our teachers and our students and their parents. But I mean, is the end of November a possibility? Yes. A lot of things have to go right for us, and COVID has to get under control so that we have a safe environment, not only for our students, but most importantly for our staff, because some of them, like me, have risk factors that need to be taken into consideration. So we're pushing forward with this model unless someone comes up with a better model, and we'll implement it as soon as we can. But as of today, I'm not prepared to make a recommendation to the board because of challenges that have to be addressed.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. I know when you sent the survey out, we got very positive feedback, and I kind of want to make it clear to the community that we do get feedback from members of the community, both on both sides of the equation, but more fervently on the side of the equation of we need to get our kids back to school in some type of way, in a full-time manner. We even received a petition from parents of 7th and 8th grade students, very concerned about the loss of education to those students in very key core subjects. And some parent, and in that, I think it was that petition or with some other letters, but there's a lot of parents concerned, like, you know, we should be dropping like gym and art and the specials, which I know we don't want to do. And we can't, but we don't want to do, because a lot of kids thrive in those areas too. But people are very concerned about the loss of instruction under the current model. And I just want everyone in the public to know we hear you, and you're doing everything you can to balance all those concerns.
Yeah, I think I have to just clarify that. I was somewhat surprised by the positive response to the five-day full-time program. I was concerned when we put the survey out that the change in social distancing from 6 to 3 feet, even with the addition of the plexiglass desk shields, I didn't anticipate the kind of response we received. But when we have almost 84% of the respondents saying they want to do a five-day program, and another 13% who are undecided, I think it's a strong indicator. And again, when we surveyed the teachers about a full-day hybrid program, and let me make that distinction very clear, it was a full-day hybrid program, not just a five-day in-person program. Even those teachers who responded, and there were 267 of them, 79.4% said they supported a full-day program. So I'll be honest with you, I was a little surprised by the overwhelming positive response. And because of that, we are working hard to address all the concerns that are out there with our staff. Obviously, the parents will have some. And again, we may have to phase this in. But with those kinds of responses, I think it's a mandate from our community and the parents of our students to get this done. And that's what we're trying to do. And again, I think a full day will be a huge plus for the teachers in that they won't have to do the hybrid model, which they have raised concerns about since September 14th and even before that. So I think while there is some anxiety and some concern, the fact that we could eliminate the need for the hybrid for our general ed classroom teacher, I think is a huge plus and should make the teacher's job easier than it is now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else?
Sean or Jen?
Mr. Dowd, you're back. Mr. Dowd.
Barbara Singer is also.
Oh, Barbara Singer.
She has not spoken yet, so she.
Hi, Barbara Singer.
She's raised her hand.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Okay, you can hear me?
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara Singer, 5 Deerfield Road. I'm listening to these comments on the AP requirement, and I've heard from other parents in the past about this. There's a couple of issues. I think one thing I haven't heard is an answer to how this requirement educationally benefits the student. I know that colleges only accept so many AP credits, and if we're going to require the AP exam in every AP class a student takes, students are going to wind up choosing not to go into AP classes because they'll have to determine beforehand how many of those AP test credits will be accepted at a college when they don't probably even know what college they're going to yet. So I find this a burden on the parents and the students. I believe it's up to the teacher to create a final exam for their course. And I don't really see any benefit. I think the student should be able to, you know, opt out. I just don't even think this should be a requirement for our students to take the AP class. And again, I think the question is still out there. What is the benefit of making this mandatory? The only response was that they do have to take a final exam, and you're saying, well, okay, this will be your final exam. Again, for the reasons I just stated and one of the other parents stated, that's really not adding up to an educational benefit for the child. I think it's going to create more of a problem in their decision-making with respect to the classes that they're going to take. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. And I know throughout the years I've been on the board, I've had nothing but all of our educational ministers tell us there's an educational benefit to taking the test. But I'll let Dr. Seitz, who's the educational expert on this topic, to talk to it.
Okay, as I understood the comments on the educational benefit, it's self-evident. You know, it's an experience. It will give the students the experience of preparing for a final exam, something that they will do in college. So I think the benefit is clear, and it's within policy of the district. And in reference to selecting AP classes, the colleges decide what courses, you know, what AP courses they accept or not accept. So I'm not sure what that comment was for. The one area where I think you and I disagree significantly is I believe that we should have a test developed by the most knowledgeable test developers that we can find. I'm a strong advocate of a common assessment. I'm a strong advocate of final exams that are departmental and not by individual teacher, because we have a curriculum that's set. We expect our teachers to teach through the curriculum, to complete the curriculum, and to teach through the standards located within that curriculum. And a test that is reliable and valid and aligns with the expectations and the objectives of the course will certainly give us a better assessment of how our students are doing. It will certainly guarantee us that they're learning what they're supposed to be learning. And again, it will provide us valuable data on how to improve instruction. And again, I don't know why anyone would not want us to identify gaps in the instructional program and work with our teachers to either provide additional resources, provide additional PD, make modifications in how we schedule a course, which would be extreme, but is out there. So I have a real, I'm a strong advocate for getting the best assessments possible, giving them to our students, and then taking that data and using it to improve instruction. It's not used against a teacher. It should never be used against a teacher. The teachers I know, and I've done this a long time, always trying to do their best. I think where the gap has been over the years, and we're beginning to close it now, is that we're not giving the teachers the quality feedback they need to make the adjustments they need. That's why I can bring up Linkit again. That's one of the benefits of Linkit. A teacher can give the students an assessment online, have it scored instantly, and break down, disaggregate the data, break down the data, so the teacher can see who learned it, who didn't learn it, who needs help, who doesn't need help. In traditional times, break those students into small groups and provide the necessary remediation that's necessary, enrichment for those who have achieved to learn the information that we were expecting them to learn. So test results, assessment data is critical to a high-performing district. And again, I strongly believe, really without reservation, that if we have a student taking an AP course, then he or she should take the AP exam, and that student has the option of not reporting that AP exam if they don't want to. So that's where we are. And you know, I understand your concerns, but when it comes to the educational benefit and the responsibility for developing the test, I see very clear that it's a benefit to the students and certainly a benefit to the district. We have strong, solid assessments.
Well, then I guess I have a question, because it sounds like that argument could be used for all standardized assessments our students take, if that's going to be, you know, our, what we hold up as the gold standard, which I completely don't agree with as a parent, that all these assessments are gold standards in testing our children's knowledge. So I guess, you know, I believe the professionals that we hire are capable of doing this. And I'm wondering what the feedback has been with respect to this from our own AP teachers.
That's something we could follow up on in CNI. And the other question, Dr. Seitz, I have, because it seems that people would rather opt to take the final in our district versus the AP test for which this exam is taken for. My question to you is, how many kids actually take the final? I'm assuming they might waive out of it because they're exempt. I think that's where the love rates are at, maybe.
I don't have that number off the top of my head. I thought it was around 80% of the students in the AP program take the AP exam.
Yeah, I thought it's pretty high.
The 80%, you know, 80% plus or minus a little bit. So we're talking about possibly 20% of the students. The other thing that is important for our for everybody to know is that as part of our curriculum, as part of our instructional program, our teachers currently use practice questions from the AP program to prepare their students for the AP exam. And I think that's really important. The other thing is, and this happened, you know, within the last 5 or 10 years, to teach an AP program, you have to be certified now. Years ago, you didn't have to be. Any teacher could teach AP programs, but the College Board understands how challenging these programs are, and they put in a certification program so that teachers have to be certified. So it's a complete package where you have teachers being certified, you have what amounts to a national curriculum, and you have a national assessment tool. And that will give us tremendous feedback on how we're doing. And at the end of the day, the goal here is to make sure that our students learn as much as possible so they can be successful in whatever future ventures they undertake.
Thank you. Thanks, Barbara.
Sure.
Okay.
Something that, like, based off of my experience, I noticed that there are plenty of students who sign up for an AP course, but they're not sure whether they want to take the exam. And then by November,
who's that? What is he? Does he want to talk?
Yeah. Sorry, could you hear me?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't know he was. Go ahead.
Sorry. So based off of my experience, as a student, plenty of students sign up for an AP course, and then by November and December, they decide whether they want to take the exam. Something that I could see happening is that, like, a lot of students might be afraid to now sign up for the course since they are locked into the exam. And I think that some students may miss out on a really good experience of
learning an AP course. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyone else?
Am I on? Sean Dowd, 12 Primrose Court. Just a couple of follow-up items. Thank you, Haroon. I've had the pleasure of teaching both his brothers, who were both very high-flying students, who I'm sure took numerous APs, and his sentiment is exactly my concern. So to simplify all the explanations and over-explanations we just got, that is my main concern. And as well as what Barbara Singer just mentioned as well, it should really be up to the student. And correct me if I'm wrong, you might need to talk to the AP teachers. The way I understood it, because I haven't taught AP, is that if the student opted out of taking the AP exam, they would still be required to take an exam. And I know there were some criteria, whether they had a B in the class, they could exempt themselves because the B was a weighted grade and it was equivalent to an A in a regular class, much like we let all students in junior and senior year opt out of exams if they have an A for the year. So I wholeheartedly agree with Haroon's sentiments that that's the reason I'm speaking about this, because we're in the classrooms with these students, we're talking to them through the rigorous process. And quite honestly, it's such a big business now that, of course, as a school district, we always want our kids to succeed and excel. We want them to take AP courses. And now it's big business because more and more schools are not accepting certain because it's costing them money and money's coming out of their pocket. And I just want to make two last comments on the current high school program of studies, page 6, under advanced placement courses. It reads, students who enrolled in the AP course will be prepared to take the AP exam in that subject area and are encouraged to do so. So again, I'm not in the committee meeting and I don't know the chapter and verse of what was decided and when it was discussed, but that's clearly a difference from what's posted on the program of studies. It now exists as a change to the new year. And again, I guess my last question was my first question from my first statements. It was on the board agenda as an item and was pulled, and I wasn't given a reason for the last meeting, and it's not an agenda item, so I'm assuming it's just being decided and it's being changed. I don't know how the board works and whether that's something that would need to be voted on or not. But again, based on Dr. Seitz's comments, I'm hearing that there was no change. And those things that I just mentioned, to me at least, as a teacher in the district, as people who know and students I've worked with, those are changes. So I just want to kind of clarify that, because there was a lot of explanation, but there was some discrepancies from what I'm made to understand and from what I'm looking at on the course of studies right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, when I responded to no changes, we were talking about the criteria for AP exams. Is there some language within the narrative that may have changed? That's a possibility. I did not get involved in the editing of the narrative, but I responded very specifically to the fact that there were no changes in the requirements for the AP program. And let me just clarify something I said earlier. Teachers certainly make tests. They make it all the time. We also know there are people out there who study how to construct a valid and reliable assessment instrument that relates specifically back to the standards and the objectives of the program. So I'm not saying teachers don't make exams. I know some have been trained, some more than others. But I do know that we have, with Linkit, 30,000 questions, a test bank of 30,000 questions that have been validated and are reliable. So I'm having trouble understanding why that's not a good thing, but that's just my perspective. But again, all I responded to was that the AP criteria have not changed. Did someone change some language that says we encourage you to take this? Possibly, but that's not what I responded to.
Any other questions?
We have Margaret McDonald.
Okay. Sure. Margaret McDonald, are you on?
Thank you very much for hearing me. I wanted to...
Ms. McDonald, do you mind giving your address as well before you proceed?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a teacher at Homedale High School. Is it okay that I speak?
Of course it is. We just need your address for the record.
104 Prospect Avenue, Red Bank, New Jersey.
Thank you.
All right. First, I'd like to thank Sean Dowd for his contribution. I think that we all have the students' best interest at heart. And I think that Sean is concerned and I am concerned that students will be reluctant to take AP courses because they are now being forced to take the test. The value truly is in their taking the course. It's not in their taking the test. I think as teachers, we want you to know that. We want you to know that we see how much they learn and grow through just taking the course. And I know that the board has the students in mind. I know that the administration has that in mind too. I think that the teachers, because we're on the front line, we see it firsthand and we're anxious to tell you truly, we want what's best for them. And when we tell you this policy might not be the best for them, please consider it. We don't have any agenda beyond wanting the best for the kids. I know you don't either. But sometimes you don't see the SEL that we see. You don't see the terrible stress that we see. We just want them to learn. We want them to take these courses and grow. And I do know that the more students that take these courses will be better for our standing. And I understand that is something that you should consider. But when we tell you that it's at the expense of growth, it's at the expense of their emotional health, we need you to hear us. And that's all I wanted to say. Thanks very much for hearing me.
Thank you, Ms. Donald. And we do hear you. The issue I have, Dr. Seitz, if you take an AP course and you're going to have to take an exam. It's going to be a final or the AP course test, right? So some of the that's why I don't understand this concern, I guess, unless there's people not taking a final exam. So if we could have that information given to us, I'd appreciate it because I don't understand the concern.
Well, I'm with you on this. It begs the question. What is the difference between a teacher prepared final exam for AP and a college board prepared final for AP?
I mean, my bigger concern, which I know in other districts have, is that when you sit and take the exam in May, what happens for the rest of the school year? I mean, that's the other concern. I've seen as a lawyer, even when I represented Board of Ed's, that's the issue that comes up too.
Right. But it goes back to this is the question I keep coming back to. We all agree that they can take right now. They can take a final exam, or they can take the AP exam. Mm-hmm. Because we're saying the AP exam is too stressful, to say something simple and brief. Then we're saying the final exam prepared by the Homedale School District is not as rigorous. And I don't know if that's false or true, but if it's not true, then what's the difference between taking the Homedale exam and the AP exam? They should be of equal rigor. And all we're saying is we want rigor. We want a good, solid assessment, and the AP exam provides those two things to a greater degree than a final exam made by a teacher in an individual school district, in this case in Homedale. So, a final exam is a final exam, and they should be of equal rigor.
Okay. Thank you. That's exactly what I was
saying. Madam President, could I say something really brief?
Okay.
Thank you. First, you know, first of all, the question at hand is a question that needs to be resolved by our superintendent. He has 30 plus years of experience in education, most of it in administration. And I have to defer to him on his judgment as to what is the best way for us to appraise the performance of a class that falls under AP. So I just think it's one of those things where we delegate out to the experts, and the expert in this case is Dr. Seitz. The second thing is, and this is just something that in 10 years on the board, this comment continues to come up over and over again, which is this question about stress and that our students are too stressed in this environment or this particular course or this particular activity. And the best response I ever heard came from one of our former presidents of the board, Barbara Garrity, who basically said, if you're stressed, you have to learn how to manage it. You have to learn to manage what you can do and what you can't do. The worst thing that we can do is to dummy down situations so that people are less stressed. The best thing we can do is to encourage our children to learn the lessons of how to manage stress. And one of those lessons is letting go. Often the problems we talk about involving stress comes about because we have students who overachieve and try to do too many things. And in some situations, the answer is, as it is not just in school, but in real life, is to figure out what you got to let go. So I understand this concern about emotional health. We have a very aggressive program to address it. But I think that if we keep talking about doing things simply because we're trying to reduce the stress of our children, we're not doing a good thing for our children. It's a bad lesson. The children themselves need to learn that stress is part of life and that they have to figure a way to cope with it. And that's really just the only thing I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike Sockel. Okay, is Katie Taylor on? Hi, go ahead, Ms. Taylor, go ahead.
Thank you so much. A couple of things just to address. There is a difference between an AP exam and a final exam. First of all, as you know, I'm a teacher. I have every single one of my students, with the exception of one student, took the AP exam last year. So it's very typical to have many students take the exam. I have no problem. I have nothing to hide about those students taking the exam. I'm very proud of how they do on the exam as well. I think the point being is what Mr. Sockel just said, is many students, in order to have the highest amount of rigor to get into the best possible institution after high school, they need to take several AP and honors courses. So our juniors and seniors may take 5 AP exams junior year and senior year. So if that's what they feel they need to do and what colleges are encouraging them to do in order to get into the best colleges that they're applying to, then us saying that you have to take a 3.5-hour exam and you must study for every single one of them, that being 5 or 6 at the same amount of 2-week schedule, it is different than taking a 1.5-hour final. And so is it a different kind of rigor? It may be, but don't forget, if the student has an A or a B in an AP exam, they can waive that exam. As Margaret McDonald said, so much of our education is about kids being exposed to different things. If a student takes 5 AP exams and really wants to excel in 2 or 3 of them because that's what they really want to learn about, but want to expose themselves to this other material and to learn maybe another language or to see if economics might be something they're interested in, that to me is something that those kids should be able to do. And we have some of the brightest, greatest kids in this district. And that opportunity should not be taken away from them saying that now you have to take that exam. Some students do take 3 or 4 out of the 5 AP classes they take. And I think that they should have that opportunity. It is very different. And I would like to read to you, based upon what Mr. Dowd read before, is that it was a suggestion. The new wording as of next year says that the AP exam replaces the district's final exam and failure to complete the AP exam results in a grade of incomplete for the final exam grade.
The incomplete grade for the final exam grade will result in a final grade of incomplete for the course. That has never, ever been in the district policy since I have been in here. So it is absolutely a change that the students, if they did not take it, would get an incomplete in the course. So that is very different. And to address Mr. Sokol, I agree with you that we need to teach our children how to cope with stress. But what we're seeing more and more in education is that students come in, and partly at our own fault as parents, is we said, you need to take this, you need to take this course, you have to get in this, you have to get an A. And guess what? That's an extreme amount of pressure. We're not helping them as parents and as families to say, maybe you don't need to take all those courses. Maybe you don't have to take all those standardized assessments. Maybe it falls on us as parents also to give them the skills to cope with that stress, because we're not seeing that. We're not seeing the ability to cope with that amount of stress, and we're not seeing parents and students and things like that. We as a community need to really consider what we push our kids to do.
Thank you, Katie. Appreciate it. Okay. Seeing no more questions. At this point of the meeting, the board needs to go into executive session to discuss matters that are privileged pursuant to the attorney-client privilege. Can I have a motion to go in executive session?
Move.
Second.
Show of hands, everyone.
Is this the same Zoom number we use?
Mike, this is, we're gonna go out. I will tell her. So we are going to keep the Zoom session open. The board is gonna get up and leave and go into our conference room to have our executive session. And we will be coming back and most likely be taking action.
No, I meant is the executive Mike? Session the same Zoom
yes. that
we had earlier? Okay, that's
no, okay. It's not, Mike. It's not. Mike, we'll call you on
we'll
the
call you.
We're gonna call
okay.
you.
Thanks.
Okay. But for the public, we'll be back in a, you know, when we're completed with our executive session. We can go into open session. Back in? Okay. Just for the record, Mike Petruzzo, have a roll call as we re-enter the public meeting from executive session.
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Redd.
Here.
Mrs. Brillamonte.
Here.
Mrs. Collins.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Here.
Mr. Foster is absent. Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have two slip sheet items. Item number one, abolishment of position. Resolve that the Homedale Board of Education approves the administrative and supervisory reorganization plan submitted by the superintendent for the district's guidance department, and be it further resolved upon recommendations of the superintendent in accordance with the reorganization of the guidance department, that for reasons of economy and efficiency, the board hereby eliminates the position of director of school counseling effective immediately. And be it further resolved that as a result of this action, the employment of employee number 5481 is hereby terminated upon 60 days notice effective at the close of business on January 4th, 2021, provided that the employee shall not continue to perform his duties during the period between giving of the notice and the date of termination thereunder, and be it further resolved that the superintendent shall notify the effective staff member of this action forthwith and shall take all other steps necessary to effectuate the terms of the resolution. May I have a roll call, please? Or may I have a motion, please?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Brillamonte.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Slip sheet item number 2, creation of position. Resolved upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board hereby creates the position of director for planning, research, evaluation, assessment, and accountability, and approves the job description on file in the human resource office for such position. May I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? CNN, have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Bremonte.
Yes.
Mrs. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Roll.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
Move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.